This is Andy.
And this is Matt.
And you're listening to
The Hop Podcast with No Name.
What a dumb name.
It's so stupid.
Okay, I pressed the button.
All right, we're beginning. Episode 57.
That's the one.
An episode, we're not at our normal destination or location.
We are not.
We are currently on the road.
We're on the road.
But that's not going to stop us. Not today.
We will record this.
Yes. And
no matter
definitely
what.
Not the day before it's going to release, because
nope.
We are more prepared than that.
So much more prepared.
But we have a fun, it kind of feels like a take your daughter to work day.
Am I the daughter?
But you're the daughter, and you're just going back to work. So we wanted to try doing a little bit of a mind game.
Okay.
Where we send you, Andy Baker,
mm-hmm.
with your current knowledge,
mm-hmm.
back to work. And so the game...
No, because I don't work. I mean, let's be clear. I do not work today.
No. No. back to...
A real job.
One of your prior roles.
Okay.
Which I'll let you hypothesize whatever role or facility you want to imagine being in. And then you go there with your current knowledge and you're just starting day one. And so we're going to play the game of what would you do?
Okay. So I am going back to work and I'm going to be... Do I get to pick who I'm going to be? But yeah, I mean, I know I'm me, but do I get to pick like what role?
You have to be you. You can't be like I'm Brad Pitt. That's who I'm gonna be.
That's who I'm gonna be. And then when I, okay, so but I get to pick my role.
You get to pick your role, sort of. It has to be a role that you've held.
That I've actually done. Okay,
you've
so I'm gonna be environmental health and safety leader for at a specific location. I will leave the location undisclosed, but I am picturing the location.
Okay, but you, so you can imagine where
yes.
your office was.
Yep.
Who your team was.
Yep.
Who you reported to.
Yes.
All that stuff.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, so that's who I am.
All right.
And what's happening? I am just. Have I been there before? Am I just starting over? I'm starting my first day there, but with the belief of the knowledge I have today.
All of your hop brain.
Okay.
As it exists today, exists back then.
But it's day one.
It's day one. I mean, yeah, you went through orientation. You have your first day of doing actual work.
Okay, but my computer's set up.
Yes, you have your passwords. All
nice.
Your systems are logged in. You have your badge. Access
Perfect.
Is everywhere.
Good.
What do you do? What is?
Does my badge... No,
okay.
Important question.
Yep. How bad is your picture? It is awful.
Do I push back when they put the wrong name on my badge this time, or do I just roll with it and that's how I become Andy?
Yeah, your backbone in that moment still does not exist, so you're now forced to have a nickname that stays with you for the rest of your life.
Okay, so I'm still Andy. Got it. Okay, so it's my first day. I'm logged into my computer. Should I compare and contrast with what I used to do, or just go for it?
Yeah, I guess give me what... Maybe you would normally do, and right, you're new to the location, but you've been doing this job for years, so you kind of know what you should be doing.
Yeah.
So maybe give me like a, hey, here's what I probably would think to do or start with. In my past life, but now knowing what I know, I would definitely focus and prioritize these things.
Yeah. Okay. So my past life, I would have been hyper focused on the meetings that I needed to attend that my boss told me I needed to attend. So my first priority would have been where do you need me? And what do I need to know for those meetings? And within my first week or so, I would have sat in on those meetings to try to get a sense of what my boss needed me to do and where I needed to be good in order to sort of complement the rest of whatever the team was, the people that I was working with. So that would have been probably historically my focus. I also would have walked around the plant to try to meet people. Specifically, the people I would be meeting would be like the supervisors of each of the areas. I would have set up time with each of the business leaders to meet with them one-on-one to understand you know, from them their environmental health and safety challenges and introduce myself and, you know, tell them I'm a resource and I'm available to them. That I think would have been priority number one, and kind of what I historically did with old Andrea Brain, former Andrea Brain, pre-hop okay. Andrea Brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now.
Now. Okay. So now I'm sitting in the same desk. My attention would be much more on understanding process. And what I mean by process is all sorts of different processes. So rather than just being focused on what does my boss need me to do to complement the team, I would be trying to understand several different things, I think. The first would be the meeting rhythms that supported operations, right? So I'm picturing myself at a fixed facility and I'm supporting a group of people that are making things and putting together things. And so in order to understand how information is passed from person to person, I think the first thing I would ask would be to be invited or embedded into some of those information passing meetings to understand the current state. So what I mean by that would be like production meetings or tiered meetings, staff meetings, anytime information is being passed directly to the folks who are executing the work, and anytime the folks that are executing the work are trying to pass information to the leadership team, I would want to know what those meeting rhythms looked like and see if I could be part of them, even if I generally wouldn't have been asked to be part of them, so that I can get an understanding of the current forums for passing information from group to group. At the same time, anytime I didn't have to be in those meetings, I'd be blocking out my calendar in order to understand process from a different lens, and that lens would be, what are we actually doing on the floor? Like, how is work getting executed? And depending upon the environment I'm in, if I'm picturing this actual location that I was in, it was a union facility, so I would not have been able to, by the practices that existed at the time, be able to physically execute the work myself. Like, I wouldn't have been able to put my hands on a part and move the part and, you know, try to do some work to the part to understand the complexities of getting the work done. But I would have been allowed to learn from people, and that's what I would have spent my time doing, meaning going from area to area, introducing myself, not to the supervisor, of course, you know, if the supervisor's there, for sure.
Sure.
But to the folks that are executing the work, and then asking if they'd be willing to teach me a little bit about what they do, what the process looks like, their day-to-day, and I would be sort of in full operational learning mode during all those conversations to learn as much as I could about the process, as well as the current challenges, as well as, you know, things people kind of know culturally about the area or are concerned about, things that are going well, things that are not going well. And I'd picture like running, you know, the same energy that I put into a learning team, just doing that for hours and hours of the day to try to get a really good baseline understanding of the process, the people, the work, and the ways that information are passed to each other. And then the third thing that I would be trying to focus on would be brushing up on all of the regulatory and corporate requirements. So I've been out of working directly for an organization as their employee for 7 years. I am sure regulatory requirements have changed. And one of the things that I found very helpful to know in my past life, which I still think is helpful to know, is that I understood the regulations, or I spent a lot of time trying to understand the regulations. And why that becomes helpful is that I could understand the bounds of kind of the constraints we were under. So if we had a difficulty with, you know, for example, machine guarding, or we had a difficulty with hazardous waste disposal, I could get a sense of what are the actual requirements that we have to meet versus what are sort of the internal constraints that we've created that maybe we can be more flexible with. So it gives me a sense of when we're trying to solve problems, the non-movable boundaries of the problem by understanding the things that I would not have direct influence over changing. That was a really long-winded answer.
That's a really long first day. I'm glad that you believe the rules of space and time don't apply to you in this.
Okay, I'm picturing this as the first...
The first week.
No, probably even longer, right? Okay. The first week, maybe the first month. And I'm sure I'm going to be pulled into other things on the side, right? Like, I have no illusions that I just get to dedicate my time to only the meetings that I want to go to.
Sure.
But in any space that I have the ability to be flexible, those are the three things that I'm trying to focus on understanding.
But where do... Okay. I mean, I imagine you also have audit requirements, things like that. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I have to do them, but I'm going to do them while I'm operationally learning, right? So if I have to go do an audit and I have to go out on the floor, I'm going to be doing the audit while also talking to people in the area about the work that they're doing while I am executing the audit. So I'm going to make sure that whatever requirement that I have to do, that in any way, shape, or form I can, I am multitasking in terms of also learning external to that requirement at the same time. So if I'm, you know, I just remember at this specific place, when I came into the work at this specific place that I'm picturing, one of the things that they had been working on was making sure that disconnects were not blocked. And that was like an audit finding that had come up many times, as I'm sure anyone who's ever worked in a fixed facility knows exactly what I'm talking about. That, you know, you have a disconnect, you can't have anything in front of it. You got this little square oftentimes that people have put with tape around the area in front of it to make sure that it's not blocked. And no matter what you do, you find out that, you know, at some point, inevitably, somebody has
space
put something
is limited
in front of it.
And right. It gets blocked.
And so I spent in real life a considerable amount of time just walking around moving things out of these disconnect areas. And I'm not saying I wouldn't do that, because that would still be part of the job of me making sure that we currently have a compliant requirement. But certainly as I'm doing that, I would be learning as much as I could with the people in the area at the same time. Part of which could be around why the disconnects are blocked. But honestly, they're blocked because you just said it, because there's limited space and people are moving things around a lot. Yep. And they're trying to get work done. Yeah, so that would be, but then in the back of my mind, the other thing I'd be doing, I'm thinking about it right now, is I'd be thinking about, okay, I should probably go back to the actual regulation around not having a block disconnect to see whether or not there is the ability for us to do something different in terms of like what's physically on the floor. Like, is there a way to put sort of like maybe like a bumpy ridge around it so that if we do have a place where we do have enough area and we're not using that for actual storage of something, that it's a more than just a visual indicator of where, you know, where that area is that we want to block. There's also a physical indicator of it. So I'd be also just trying to think of some sort of creative solution sets and asking people their thoughts too of like, hey, this is part of the regulation and the requirement. I know it's probably not high on your priority list, but if you could think about it, next time I come around, if you have any ideas, please do let me know. So those would all be part of my just trying to execute the day-to-day requirements, but then also operationally learning.
Okay,
at the same
well,
time.
This is your first curveball.
Okay, all
You're,
right. I'm ready.
You finished that audit.
Okay.
And wow, you nailed it. Everyone's talking about this new safety professional and how thoughtful they are, and they're so focused on learning. And as you're walking back to your office, you walk past someone on a forklift operating it, moving without their seatbelt on.
Yeah.
What then?
Oh, yeah. That's a great curveball. Because now I have to decide, am I going to address it in the moment directly? Am I going to bring folks together to operationally learn about it? Am I going to just become more curious and see whether or not this is something consistent that is happening a lot? But I do know, I guess I get to bring my current brain, right? So
yeah.
You said, okay.
Yeah.
So I know from many different organizations that this is a pretty common difficulty and that there are solution sets that people have put in place. And then my later self actually had put in some solution sets. So I think the first thing that I would do, this is a great question, because you're forcing me to physically
picture, in real time,
physically picture being there in my real job and then also using this mentality.
And what, and you're going to see all these people tomorrow and the next day?
Yep. And so I think the first thing that I would do is have a conversation with the individual. The reason I'd have a conversation is that in every area within the safety profession, as far as I know, part of what we have agreed to, in some places legally, is that we make sure to at least address non-compliances in some way when we come across them, rather than walk by or ignore.
In real time.
In real time.
Okay.
And so I'm going to do that in the most productive way I know possible, which would be, I would ask the individual if they have a second. And if they don't, I would ask them if there is a time in the near future for us to have conversation. I am no longer concerned in the moment that not wearing the seatbelt is a life or death situation for the next 5 minutes. Historically, I would be, but I know it's such a very, very common practice that I don't want to overreact to it because I've seen it in so many places. So I'm not going to push if the person's like, I'm sorry, I'm really busy right now. I would wait till a moment in time within that day that we could have a conversation. And then the things that I would learn from that person in the conversations, I'd say, hey, you know, I am new here. And I know that part of the requirements, and I know you know part of the requirements on the forklift, is that we have to use our safety belt or seat belt. But I also recognize that there's quite a few folks who aren't. Could you teach me what I'm missing? Could you help me understand kind of what the day-to-day looks like for you? Because I'm sure there's a lot of logic as to why it just doesn't make sense to fasten it all the time. And I'm just curious if you're willing to help me understand it. And then we would have that conversation. And I'd have to make a bunch of assumptions as to why, because I never had that conversation directly in this location that I'm talking about, right? So I don't know the answer.
Historically, what would you have done?
Oh, historically, for sure, I know exactly what I'd do. I would have, because I did it so many times, I would have stopped the person immediately, and I would have said, hey, we do have to have a conversation about the fact that you're not wearing your seatbelt on your forklift. It is a requirement. It's a requirement for you to operate the forklift. Can you please put it on right now? And I want to make sure that you understand that you always have to operate with your seatbelt on. It is a requirement that we are going to consistently enforce. And if we don't see it, it's going to become a problem. And that I would have said that on my first day.
And you'd be like, wow. And then you're walking back. Nailed that interaction.
Nailed it.
No notes. Okay. Second curveball.
Wait, do I get any follow-up this for? Because I would address it in the moment, but that's like...
No. That's it.
I don't get to tell you what I do later?
No, because you're going to make that up as well. there's plenty of make-believe going on. We have another curveball.
Okay.
Thrown in by a listener.
All right.
Currently? Who is me.
Okay.
So I'm listening.
Okay.
It's day three.
It's day three.
You show up. You probably had a light breakfast.
Sure.
Oatmeal.
Yeah. With a little bit of fruit. Yeah. Okay.
Coffee.
Yep.
And you get a memo.
A memo.
Is that what happens in your world?
No.
No. You get an email?
Yeah.
Okay. You get an email.
Yep.
It's from corporate.
A corporate email.
And the corporate is mandating.
Yes.
That we ban knives. We've had a rise in knife-related cuts.
It'd be a serious incident that happened with a knife that would make this happen.
Okay, serious incident. I'm showing my colors. A serious incident
required stitches with a box cutter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what you just got, and you are now. We are corporate is banning knives. And you are now responsible for executing said ban.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Day three.
Yeah. You're giving me flashbacks and hives. Okay. So I have to execute this ban. Now, am I telling you what I would do, new brain, or what old brain did?
Let's start with old brain did, because you did this. And that's where I got this question from.
I mean, for sure I did it.
So tell me.
Not once, multiple times.
Tell me.
So this
old brain.
So old brain. okay. First thing Old Brain did was I went to the business leader of the area that we use box cutters, and I let them know about the new mandate. And I told them that I was going to partner with them to help put it in place, right? So I'm going to make a good connection with this business leader. So Old Brain, by the way, I think I'm doing things really well. Like I feel like I'm really executing my role well as a team player. Unfortunately, the team that I'm only picturing is the leadership team. I'm not necessarily picturing it as the folks who are executing the work at this point in my career. So Old Brain is doing this, and I have decided that... that I probably the best way to talk to this is to meet in the morning meeting. So I'd ask permission to come in the morning meeting where they have a huddle of all the employees that have box knives, and I'm going to make this announcement, and I'm just going to tell them. I'm going to say, hey, this is the corporate requirement is that we get rid of all box knives. And then I'm going to tell them what knife it's going to be replaced with, which in my world, it probably would have been mandated that a specific type of knife was used, and in real life there was a specific type of knife we had to use. It was the one that it's retractable, right? So one you have to hold the knife out in order to execute actually cutting something with your thumb. And I would have made a plan of when the knives would be available and when we were going to make the switch. And the faster I made the switch, the more credit I would have gotten for like, hey, we did this like the next day or the day after this announcement.
Okay.
And then we would have created a time and place where people would get their new knife and they would turn in their old knife at the same time. Now, I thought I was quite progressive at the time because within a few days of switching over to these new knives, I got some people that said that it was really hurting their thumb to use the new knives. And so although it was the corporate mandate to use the retractable knife, I brought in a vendor from a ceramic knife company and brought them in to show like four or five different knife types, and then had specific people within this area try out the knives and give feedback as to which one was the best for the job. And then the new requirement then was to use this new knife type, this new ceramic knife type, and to get rid of the retractable ones, at which time I then would have to go and report back to corporate that we were not using the knives that they suggested, but we had an equal substitution, and I would get the group that sold us the knives to kind of create the presentation of why it was as good, if not better, than the retractable knife that we had all agreed to do. And that in my world would have been touted and was touted as like this best practice of getting the folks that were close to the work involved in picking the knives. And here's another knife option that's now available to people. And I would have told you that that was the most like progressive way I could have handled that problem.
Okay. So here's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
What you did was you said, all right, children, you can't have eggs anymore for breakfast, but you can choose between mashed peas and mashed asparagus. Which would you like? Is that what?
Yeah, fair... and they went with mashed peas because the asparagus was a little bit too stringy.
That's on the cook.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah.
But okay. All right. So now you get to redo it.
I get to redo
Congratulations.
It. Thank you. Oh man. There's so many different ways I would try to approach it. So I think the first thing that I would do is not overreact and jump to talking to the business leader and making this big announcement. I think I would kind of walk to the floor with the folks who are executing the work, show them the requirement, and say, hey, this seems to be the direction we're going in. And I'm just really curious if you would be willing to show me all of the different things that you are using the box cutters for now. So that I at least have a pretty good mental picture of like what it looks like to have to use the box cutter, how often we use it, and because I don't even have an understanding of the scale of how big of a change this is.
So and I'm willing to wager that neither is corporate, but that's neither
right.
Neither
so we'll, sure, because it was a mandate across everyone, right? So trying to understand a little bit more from the perspective of the people who are executing the work, have them teach me like what this actual ask is, and part of learning about that. Right. I would be showing them the option of what we were told we could have. And I could, give some other options of the things that are out there on the market. and have them teach me kind of where the sticking points would be of like, well, I mean, we might be able to switch over to this knife for this part, but we're going to still have to go to a box cutter for this part of it because, you know, what you're showing us is, you know, it's just really not going to be great when we have to, you know, cut this cardboard down to size in this specific place. None of these knives are actually going to do this work well, especially if we're going to have to put it in the compactor. We're just not going to be able to execute it this way. Now, old Andrea wouldn't know any of this, and people would just have knives hidden to do that task without me being aware of it. New Andrea, I'm hoping I'd be clever enough in terms of knowing how much I don't know to learn about the major sticking places where making this change would be really difficult. At that point in time, I kind of have a choice as a leader and the type of leader and the amount of energy and effort we're going to put into this. The first thing I think I'd be asking more questions about is on the scale of like concern in terms of what these folks are dealing with. How big is this knife concern? Like, is cutting our hand really the biggest thing that we should be spending our time and energy and effort on? Or are there things that are such higher priority that honestly we want to kind of not spend a lot of time on this knife aspect because there are other things that we should be spending our resourcing in terms of money, in terms of attention, in terms of time? So I'd be trying to get a scale of how important risk-wise this is. And then depending upon that scale is going to be dependent upon how we try to define the problems. I'm either defining the problem as this isn't really super important on the scale, and there's a few places where we can substitute out these knives. And realistically, though, a box cutter is still the best tool for the job in these other places. And then I, as an individual, have to be able to go talk to that, right? I have to be able to make that argument to other people, to peers, to my boss, to my boss's boss. Or if we are going to spend a lot of time on this problem, then I'd be defining the problem differently. Meaning I would say, if we switch out the box cutters, then executing cutting the cardboard up for the trash compactor will not be able to be executed well with the new knives. And so we have a gap in this process. So we have to address this in some way. I probably wouldn't be the person that could come up with a really good solution on how to address it, but I'd put together some small working team to try to brainstorm ideas and tri-storm ideas of, are there different ways for us to compress this cardboard? Do we have to cut them up? You know, are there different cutting mechanisms that would allow us to do this, you know, faster, more efficiently, and safer? I have no idea what the solution set would be, but we'd be defining the problems as either we're going to do part of this mandate and here's why, and can we accept that as an organization, and can my boss accept that, and my boss's boss accept that? Or if we're not going to accept that, then we certainly can't just tell people, use this new knife even though it doesn't work, and we're not going to address the rest of the problems. We're going to have to list out those problems and address each of them individually. And I would also be working with my boss to make that known as to how much work we have to put in to make this mandate really work and not just pretend that it's working.
So if I'm summarizing, it sounds like you went from being a benevolent leader executing the corporate mandate to a benevolent disagreeing subordinate who is forced. You saw your role now as getting as much information as needed to be able to potentially disagree with the mandate in a healthy, professional way.
Yeah, meaning I became the storyteller for why the blanket requirement may or may not work in execution, even if it felt like a really, really good idea on paper. I became the individual who would advocate for the stories of the folks who were doing the work to help the people making the decisions recognize that it's not as simple or as black and white as just replace these knives, that there are going to be a bunch of process things that we have to overcome. And if we want to spend the time and energy as an organization trying out new tools to break these boxes down, trying out processes, we can. Somebody's got to do that, whether that be myself or someone else, helping, you know, create a team of people to decide it. But that it would not be fair of us to just replace things without understanding the consequence of it and the ramifications, and without helping to address them, knowing that I'm the person that has some amount of resourcing to address it, and the person who's executing the work is holding the problem, but might not be able to solve the problem themselves without somebody that can direct resourcing or direct somebody's attention to the problem.
I'd say well said, and it was well said. I mean, it was a little long, but it was well said.
What else is new?
I think that was a good first. It's supposed to be a first day, but
no,
I should have known better than to give you that sort of that sort of box. It was a good first month, and I think this was fun. Yeah. I had fun.
Cool.
Did you have fun?
I did. Actually, it's a great exercise because when you picture the real place, the real life, and the real constraints that you have within an organization, it's a healthy thing to have to think through how you would navigate it, knowing that you still also want to keep your job. Because, I mean, you mentioned it, like when we get to go into a place now, right, it's been 7 years of I get to go in somewhere, I can talk directly to a leader and say, hey, this doesn't work well, you should think about changing it. And they've asked us to come in to do that. So it's easy, right? It's easy for us to do that. It's easy for us to deliver a message that might be counter to the social norm at the time.
I'd say it's the expectation is that we're going to tell them, hey, something needs to change.
Yes. But then when you're part of the organization itself, that is not a position most of us can take. And so having to think through applying these from that path of constraint was good. It was a good idea, Matt.
Well, thank you. I think we have more to talk to about that idea of being in an organization as leader, but still having that genuine fear of speaking up, or at least admitting that maybe what we're doing is not as rosy as everyone thinks it is. I think we have plenty more to talk about that, too. So that's it. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon.
Well, that's it.
Yep, another one in the books. We did it.
If you want to send us any of your thoughts, actually fling us any of your thoughts, you can do so at the website www.hoppodcast.com.
That's hoppodcast.com.
It's still such a stupid name.
We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.